In a short summary, why should Californians oppose Proposition 61?
Well, people in California should oppose Proposition 61 because it sounds great and it's really easy for the supporters to say, trust us, Proposition 61 is going to work and it'll lower drug prices in California. The problem is in the details, and independent experts have evaluated Proposition 61 and all raised red flags that it will increase state costs, that it could lead to decreased access to medicines, that it could harm veterans and cost taxpayers. So that's why 200 groups are opposed to Proposition 61. That's why every editorial board in California, every major daily paper in California is opposed to Proposition 61. It's not going to work, and it's being promoted falsely as the cure-all when the details just don't bear that out.
Okay, now drug prices in the United States have been an issue for a long time, so to some it might seem surprising that Proposition 61 is not the answer, but one of the cons of Proposition 61 is that it could potentially raise the cost of veterans' medical
right.
bills. Can you explain that connection? How does that work?
Sure. Proposition 61 is tied to the price that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs pays for its drugs. And it's Proposition 61 says that California can't pay more than the lowest price paid by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The VA today, it's a small program. It's all self-contained. Veterans are served by the VA healthcare. They are seen in VA hospitals by VA doctors. They get services from VA employees, and they pick up their medications at VA pharmacies. It's a very small, closed system, and because of the service to the country, you know, we as a nation made a decision long ago that we wanted to take care of our vets, and that's a good thing. In 1990, Congress had the bright idea of saying to the Veterans Affairs Administration, hey, we're going to open up your pricing to all other federal agencies. And it was this provision was included in part of the 1990 Omnibus Budget Act. And it said that all federal agencies would get the same low prices as the VA. And the VA at the time was a little worried, and they opposed it, saying, you know, our drug prices could go up. If you extend our special discounts to everybody, there will be an incentive to increase the prices to us. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. The prices to the VA went up. Congress repealed it, instituted a federal discount for the VA, which is in place today. Now, Proposition 61 is not tied to that federal discount. Right away, the way it works is there's a list price for drugs, and then the VA automatically gets a 24% discount off of that price. That's the federal discount. It's federally mandated. But the VA negotiates additional discounts on top of that 24% off price. And so estimates are that the VA gets prices that are up to 40% lower than the list price. So they get, you know, between 24 and 40% off of the price of drugs. On average, it's about 40. The VA is worried that if Proposition 61 passes, they could lose that 40% discount, and their discount could creep back up to the 24% off that's federally mandated, which for the VA amounts to about $3.8 billion annually. And that's what the VA is worried about. And they evaluated 61 and came to the conclusion that the risk to the VA was an increase annually of $3.8 billion. And so the VA and the veterans groups that are opposed to Prop 61, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Vietnam Veterans of America, American Legion, and a couple dozen other veterans groups are all concerned because they remember what happened in 1990 when the VA discount was extended and it failed. Prices to the VA went up. And Prop 61 is essentially the same thing. It extends the VA pricing discount to the state of California. And the veterans who are opposed don't want to take a gamble with their health care, because if the VA has a $3.8 billion budget increase, they're going to have to figure out how to absorb that somehow. And either you can cut costs and make up your $3.8 billion that way, but veterans look at that and they say, well, if the VA cuts costs, it's going to mean a cut in our services. And we don't like that. Or the other alternative when you're trying to make up a budget deficit is to pass those costs along and to generate more revenue. And the VA, the veterans look at that and they say, well, wait a minute, those could be costs passed to us in the form of higher health care costs or prescription co-pays. That's not good either. So they're very, very strongly opposed to Proposition 61 because they look at it as something that is going to trickle down and hit them right in the pocketbook.
And additionally, other groups are against this. CalPERS reviewed Proposition 61, and they said that this proposition could jeopardize access to certain drugs. So I understand the increase of veterans' drug prices, but how does it restrict drugs?
The way the initiative works, it says that California can't pay more than the lowest price paid by the VA for the cost of drugs. It doesn't say that. So essentially what it sets up, and it says that the state of California can't sign contracts unless the net price of the drug is the lowest price paid by the VA or lower. So essentially what CalPERS is worried about is this sets up a negotiation between CalPERS and the companies. And if CalPERS can't negotiate with the companies for a price of a drug and meet that threshold of the lowest VA price or lower, then CalPERS can't buy the drug. And, you know, they would have to walk away from the negotiations. The companies can refuse to sell it. So CalPERS is worried that it may not be able to reach negotiations on all the drugs it currently provides today. And so that's why they said this could lead to decreased access to medicine for certain CalPERS members. They also worried that some of their plans might not even comply with Proposition 61, and they worried they may get hit with lawsuits. CalPERS also worried about facing higher administrative costs if Proposition 61 passes.
Now, there have been some veteran groups that have come out in support. There was an ad from Yes on 61, but your camp is saying that they were actually paid $50,000 to say that they supported Yes on 61. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, and there haven't been some veterans groups on the Yes side. There's one veterans group on the Yes side. It's the one veterans group is a group called Vote Vets. It's not a veterans service organization like the American Legion or Veterans of Foreign Wars that provides services to homeless vets and helps them with educational opportunities and counseling services and things like that. Vote Vets is a political organization that was formed a couple decades ago, I believe under President Clinton. They get involved in environmental issues and other things that aren't necessarily related to veterans issues. Vote Vets was paid by the Yes on 61 campaign for, and they categorized it as consulting services. And we know this because, you know, the state of California requires that all campaigns report all their spending. So this showed up on the Yes on 61 campaign spending reports, a $50,000 payment to the group Vote Vets for consulting services. And lo and behold, Vote Vets is now opposed to Proposition 61, and some of its members are appearing in ads. Lo and behold, Vote Vets is supportive of Prop 61, and their members are appearing in Yes on 61 ads. But it's only one organization.
One of the, I guess, winning talking points that the other side has is savings, but Sacramento Bee did an ad watch piece and they found that Yes on Proposition 61 was overstating savings. If we were to pass Proposition 61, would there be savings for some people?
We don't think so. The independent nonpartisan legislative analyst isn't sure either, and the Legislative Analyst's Office in California is a state department, and their job, its job, is to evaluate every single ballot initiative that comes down the pipeline and look at how its provisions would impact the state's fiscal, the state's general fund. And so the legislative analyst actually ultimately came to the conclusion that Proposition 61 is highly uncertain. That's a direct quote from their review. It found that, you know, a number of things, Prop 61 depends on a number of things. They found that Proposition 61 could actually increase the cost of drugs in California on the Medi-Cal fee-for-service program, which is the largest program covered by 61, and also called out another issue, which is that the lowest price paid by the VA is confidential. The VA holds that ultimate price confidential. And so the legislative analyst tried to get that price from the VA, saying, hey, we need to analyze this measure. We know how much the state is spending overall on drugs, but we want to see if this would result in any savings or any cost increases. Can you tell us what you guys pay for the price of drugs? And the VA said, no, we can't. We aren't going to. That price is confidential. And so the VA said, the legislative analyst said, you know, this is one of the problems with Proposition 61, is that if it should pass, there's no way to implement it, because how do you compare what the state of California is paying to, you know, an unknown number on the other end? And the legislative analyst said, you know, the courts will have to decide this. There's no other way. And so that's one of the concerns of the taxpayer groups in California, like the California Taxpayers Association, which is opposed to Prop 61, because, you know, this could result in years and years of litigation. And whenever anyone sues the state, it's, you know, it's the taxpayers who are on the hook. So, I mean, that's a long way of answering your question, will the state save any money? You know, I suppose maybe, you know, some drugs may be cheaper, but overall, the legislative analysts found that, you know, Proposition 61 is highly uncertain. That's a direct quote, as I said, and even identified a way in which the state could lose about $100 million annually if Prop 61 passes.
Countless of papers have come out urging a no on Proposition 61, Los Angeles Times, Santa Rosa, Press Democrat, San Francisco Chronicle. But on the other side, Senator Bernie Sanders, who did run president on the Democratic side, has come in favor of yes on 61. Do you have any opinion on that?
You know, it's easy for Senator Sanders to, you know, support Proposition 61. He doesn't have to deal with its fallout. And so it's the people of California, the 200 groups that are opposed to Proposition 61, that actually will have to live here and deal with the ripple effects of Proposition 61 and the unintended consequences. And, you know, that's really where we hope voters, look into the details of Proposition 61 and look at who's opposed. I mean, the California Medical Association is opposed. I mentioned the Veterans of Foreign Wars, California Taxpayers Association, the California NAACP, business groups, taxpayer groups, patient advocacy groups, all are senior groups, all labor unions, the LGBT and HIV and AIDS community is solidly on the no side. And all of these different groups are opposed for different reasons. Veterans have a different reason for opposing Prop 61 than business groups do, than the doctors groups do, than the senior groups do. But they all recognize that the details in Proposition 61 don't add up to good policy, and that when all is said and done, if this thing passes, there will be negative consequences, negative unintended consequences, and, you know, a wide ripple effect that's going to hit families in California and individuals and everyone in California pretty hard.
While that is true, there is a sort of distrust of Big Pharma and, you know, situations like the EpiPen, you know, that 500% price raise, and Martin Shkreli does scare people. Do you think that Californians are going to come out yes or no on 61?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge that we face, obviously. The sentiment of people and the concern they have about drug prices, it's there. And, you know, the Yes on 61 campaign is exploiting that. And, you know, basically their campaign is trust us. You know, Prop 61 is going to work, but they don't really have many. They're very long on the promises and on the broad references, but they're short on the details. And when, you know, voters look into the details and they see that the legislative analyst has called Prop 61 highly uncertain, when they see that CalPERS has acknowledged that it's worried it could face decreased access to medicines for some of its members, when they look at the impact on veterans, and when they look at the HIV and AIDS groups that you'd think would be on the yes side, given the funder on the yes side, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, you know, voters take all of this into account when they read the editorial boards that are opposed. They take all of this into account, and we know that as voters do more reading and learn more about Prop 61, they're more inclined to oppose it because they recognize its flaws. And that's a good thing for us. We want people to do more reading. We want people to do more exploration into the, you know, the details of Proposition 61. And we feel pretty good that they do that work. We know voters do their homework. And once they do and when they do, they'll be very skeptical of 61 and vote no.
Now, the Los Angeles Times called Proposition 61 the wrong solution to the problem of high drug prices, but obviously people are getting fed up. Something has to be done about high drug prices. In your opinion, what is the correct way to go about it if it's not Proposition 61?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, our coalition is opposed to 61, and we were formed to fight this. Many of the coalition members of the No on 61 campaign are engaged in legislative advocacy, both at the state of California level and at the federal level. And I know there are a lot of efforts out there to draft policy surrounding drug costs and things like that. And, you know, that's going to proceed. I just, you know, it's not wise to attempt to make really complicated policy decisions through the broad brush stroke that an initiative offers. You know, one of the problems with initiatives is that, you know, in the case, this is the case with Proposition 61 happens all the time, which is you've got one organization that hired an attorney to draft an initiative. It's their idea. It's their, they're the ones putting it on the ballot. They're funding the signature gathering campaign, and they don't shop the policy language around to other people to review and to vet and to identify problems. And so, you know, that's the case with 61. And all these groups that have come out with their independent reviews have all identified holes or red flags or policy problems with 61 that may have been able to have been addressed had this been in a different forum where people could have read the language before it showed up on the ballot. That just didn't happen with 61, and that's one of the problems with initiatives.
Great. And then is there anything else you would like to add, anything I haven't covered about Prop 61?
Yes. I wanted to talk for a moment about the AIDS Healthcare Foundation and its motivation for Proposition 61. As I mentioned, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation is almost the sole funder of Proposition 61. They funded the campaign 100% to get it on the ballot, and I think their funding is 99.9999% of what they've contributed, what they've raised so far. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation, you need to know, is a very large operation. They made, according to their own financial records that are on their website, they made $800 million in 2015, 80% of their revenue from prescription drug sales and operating pharmacies. Now, that's a worldwide number, but they operate pharmacies and they buy and sell drugs in California. Under normal circumstances, they operate through the Medi-Cal Managed Care Healthcare Program, a state healthcare program, and they normally would have had to comply with Prop 61, except that they exempted the Medi-Cal Managed Care Program from the requirements of Prop 61, and by doing so, they exempted their own organization from having to comply with Proposition 61. So this is an organization that makes $800 million selling drugs. They draft and get on the ballot a drug measure in California. They promote it as a way to lower drug prices, yet they draft it in such a way that they don't have to comply with it. And our question to voters is, what is going on? And voters ought to be really skeptical when you see situations like that, when the funders of an initiative, the group bankrolling an initiative, is writing it such that they don't want to comply with their own initiative. What's going on? If this initiative is so great for the state of California, why don't they want to comply with it? We don't know the answer, but it's definitely something that seems quite suspicious.